Hey there. My name is Corinne O'Flynn, and you're listening to the Calm Entrepreneur Podcast. I am a USA Today bestselling author, nonprofit executive, and organizing nerd with over 20 years experience running my own small businesses. I teach entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small business owners like you how to organize your business, find more time, and deepen your alignment practice to experience more calm and confidence every single day. If you're looking for that intersection between practical business advice and spiritual goodness, then you're in the right place. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into this week's episode of the Calm Entrepreneur Podcast. Welcome, welcome to the Calm Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Corinne O'Flynn, and this is episode 8. On this week's episode of the podcast, I wanted to talk to you about evening routines and the value of them and the importance of them, because I don't think that they should be something that is optional. I really do believe that a really sound and thoughtful evening routine is as powerful as the morning routine. And this podcast is coming to you as a result of several emails and lots of DMs that came from listeners after episode 4 was aired, which was all about the morning routine. And during that episode, I spoke about the power of a really solid morning routine. And it was inevitable that I mentioned that I do also, in fact, have an evening routine. So you asked for a deeper dive into the evening routine, and here we are. So thank you for that. So as an entrepreneur, we are all busy with the never-ending to-do list, right? It's the inbox that'll just be full until we die. And then even after we die, it'll all still be there. And it can be challenging to carve out time for anything, much less the thought of adding something new to our day. And I think that this is where we run into the most resistance. Because if I say to you, oh, hey, we're going to take this on and we're going to add this evening routine to your day, many people balk and they're like, ooh, I don't know. I don't have time. I don't have time to train myself to do something new. But when it comes to routines, it's really important to think of them as a reduction on your burden instead of adding things to the already overtaxed list. Our schedules are really, really busy, but routines in our business and in our life actually provide relief. They bring us relief. And that is especially true when it comes to an evening routine. So what do I mean by an evening routine? Well, it's actually two things. First, it's a way to close out your workday. It's how you shut things down and tee everything up for tomorrow. But it's also how we can move off the exit ramp of our whole day and into a shutdown routine for the day and ultimately to rest and sleep for the night. So as a business owner, it can be really challenging to transition from work mode into personal time mode, and especially if you work from home, right? We often carry the stress of our work with us after we've left the office, right? Or finished working from home. And this can lead to burnout. It can lead to decreased productivity. And this lack of separation from our work and personal life, it costs us. It costs us in being present. It costs us in the attention that we have for our life, for our loved ones, for the things that we want to do outside of our life. Like, we're working so that we can have our life, right? And so we need to find a way that we can break off from the work at the end of each day so that we can actually experience our life and be present in those moments, which are arguably the most valuable things that we have. So establishing an end of workday routine can help you make that break between the two and can help you switch off from work and transition into your personal time more effectively. As a human being, a shutdown your evening routine is It provides the same kind of thing. It's a series of activities that you engage in before bed that help you relax and unwind and prepare you for sleep. So the goal of this routine is to transition from whatever it was that you were doing after you ended your workday and then move you into rest. And it's a self-care practice. It allows you to get your mind and your body to decompress and ultimately improve the quality of your sleep. And several studies that I found concluded that workers who had a clear separation between work and personal time reported lower levels of stress and better overall well-being. And I'm going to repeat that because that's really important. And if you're multitasking, like let's pause and hear this one. Workers who had a clear separation between work and personal time reported lower levels of stress and better overall well-being. Who doesn't want more of that, right? Like me, please, I'll sign up for that. By having an end-of-day routine, workers were able to switch off from work and focus on other aspects of their lives, which led to increased productivity and more job satisfaction. So the act of shutting it off actually enhances the work. Employees who engaged in a closing ritual at the end of each workday reported a higher level of job satisfaction and better balance between their work and their home lives. The closing ritual involved taking a few minutes to reflect on their day, clear their workspace, and make a plan for the next day. It really is as simple as that. Another study found that managers who took the time to plan out their tasks for the next day were more productive and had better time management skills. And by planning ahead, managers were able to prioritize their most important tasks and focus the next day on what matters the most. Overall, these studies suggest that an end-of-day routine can bring numerous benefits to businesses, employees, including lower stress levels, increased productivity, and better balance between our work lives and our personal lives. And by taking time to reflect and plan and prepare for our next day, we can be more effective and efficient in our work, which leads to overall outcomes for the business, but overall outcomes for us as humans in our satisfaction, in our purposefulness, in our desire and our drive to continue to strive and do those things in our businesses that we have chosen to do. I was talking recently with a friend, and one of the things that he talked about was this point in his life where he felt stuck in this life that he worked so hard to build. And I find that to be something that's actually quite common, and it's burnout. We work ourselves to a nub, down to nothing, where there's nothing left. And we wonder how we got here because we're doing this thing that we chose. We're doing this thing that we love. So how did we get to this place of burnout? And I think that this has to do with not being able to shut off the work, not having a routine that allows us to let go. And so that's where I think the business end of day is so vital. Because not only is it just a switch off, it's not just turning off the switch and closing down the desk and moving out of your office. It is actually moving yourself into this mind frame where you know that you've got your own back. So you do the things that you need to do in your day. And then at the end of the workday, whether that be after you finish a certain project or whether it's a certain hour on the clock, when it's time to leave, you need to know that you have tomorrow ready to go, that you're not going to come back tomorrow to this middle of the sentence kind of leave off, right? You want to make sure that when you come back tomorrow, everything is kind of ready for you. So what does that look like? How do you do that? First, for me, and this is going to vary, and I'll have a caveat for this one, but it's clean off your desk, right? Clear your workstation of paper and clutter and put everything away. Now, this is something that I do. My desk is clear when I go to bed at night or when I shut it down for the day. I don't necessarily stay in here until I go to bed, but when I leave my workday and I'm done for the day, I will shut down by clearing off my desk. And I get a lot of pushback from people sometimes about this because I want to clarify, not everybody works well in a clear desk environment. And I, as a writer, know a lot of creative people, and a lot of creative people tend to prefer a messy office space. And that's fine. So you do you. I'm not trying to make a value judgment here on this. But there is, we have to be aware of the segment of the population who thrive in a desk that is never actually cleared, right? So that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with anybody. Either you like it clear or you don't. But if you don't clear your desk, I would urge you instead to gather up the things that you will need for your work tomorrow morning and place them where they're going to be easy to locate. Because you don't want to waste any time searching for the things that you need that will cause you to be wasting time that you could be using to get focused on your work the next day. So I'll get that out of the way right away, because that's one of those things that's like, we have the, in writing land, we have plotters and we have pantsers. Those are people who plot and people who write by the seat of their pants. And we have, you know, lefties and righties, and we have, you know, coffee and tea. Well, there is actually a faction of clutter-free workstations and happily cluttered workstations. And, you know, we're going to just embrace and accept, we take all comers. So once you have your workstation prepared in whatever way that looks for you, the next thing you need to do before you close down your day is review the day's progress. Go over your to-do list from today, right? And hopefully you have one of those. And if you don't, please start doing that. Take a few minutes, review your to-do list from today, and ensure that you've completed all the essential tasks. And then make a note to yourself, whether that be on your planner, in your calendar, or wherever it is that you do keep these things. How did you do on today's tasks? How did you do on the list? Move anything that's not complete to tomorrow's list. And if the things that you didn't complete aren't something that actually repeat every single day, move that to the next day in which you handle that thing. Once you're left with what's left, and if there is nothing left, you know, good for you, prioritize your tasks for the next day. Look ahead to tomorrow. Identify what you're going to be working on in your first work block. And this will help you hit the ground running in the morning and be more productive sooner. When you have your tasks for tomorrow figured out, make a short list. And for me, I use a paper planner, and my paper planner wants me to prioritize my top three things. And I don't know that you need to actually only have three, or if you need to have as many as three. We all work in different ways. And it's really important that when you take advice like this, it really is an ideal, right? Nothing about this is calling for perfection. And it's not prescriptive. It's really meant to be, hey, here's this buffet, and these are all the things that I suggest. But if they don't all fit, then don't do them all. And if you're not sure, try them on, you know, and toss the ones that don't fit. So after you've reviewed your day's progress and you have figured out what you're going to be doing tomorrow, prioritize those tasks. You need to know what you're working on first and second and third, right? So you make a short list of those in your planner. Then I want you to make a list of the non-priority tasks that you have to tackle tomorrow. These are things like checking for email or making phone calls or following up on something or doing a little bit of research or scheduling appointments, anything that isn't necessarily a huge time block requirement, but it is nonetheless something that has to be done. And I want you to make a list of those things on your planner. And prioritize those if they need to be, if certain things have to happen within certain hours. Like for me, I don't always get to my desk in time to do things like make phone calls during office hours. You know, if I have to speak to somebody live in the 9 to 5, I have to make sure that that is a priority in the morning, because I typically get sucked into my work and then it's, you know, evening by the time I stop and I look up from the day and I'm like, well, shoot, how was I supposed to make that phone call? Now it's 8 o'clock. So prioritize the smaller tasks and line those up so that you know which ones have to happen. And once you have your top three or top four, top one, whatever the big top thing is, and your bunch of small non-priority tasks, I want you to do a reality check. Is there enough time in the day to do all the things that you've listed? Granted, you know, things always come up that require a shift. And if any of you are like me and you have kids living at home, things happen, you know, and I have dogs and I have a husband. We all are working from home and going to school. There are going to be things that take our attention away. But in the ideal, is your list realistic? If you did have a complete workday in the ideal schedule available to you tomorrow, does your gut tell you that this is a good list for tomorrow? And this is really important, because making goals and then missing your goals repeatedly impacts the way that you think about holding yourself accountable to your list. When we don't meet our goals, it's a bummer, you know. But what it does is it takes away the power of our list, right? If you have a to-do list that you never hold yourself accountable to, because you can always slide things off onto tomorrow, then what you're doing is you're not keeping your word to yourself. And that sounds like a small thing, but it actually is really important. And I'd like to urge you to treat your list as a promise. and hold yourself to it as seriously as you can. Every time you make good on your promise to yourself, acknowledge that, right? It's important that we keep our word to ourselves. That is one of the tenets of being a successful entrepreneur, actually being a successful person, being a follow-thrower. And this is another thing that I've talked about on earlier episodes. Being a follow-thrower and holding yourself accountable and keeping your word to yourself is, it does something to our subconscious mind. And if we know that we're not going to hold ourselves accountable to something, and we know that we're going to make this goal, but yeah, well, whatever, if I get to it, I get to it. That changes the way that we think about the work that we're doing. It devalues it. It diminishes its importance. And we lose trust with ourselves. So I'm going to say that again, you know, hold yourself accountable to the promise that you make and treat your to-do list as a promise. So in order to do this, so this is one of those things that comes up a lot. We have more to do in a day than we can fit on our daily to-do list, right? So what do we do with that? Do we have a to-do list that we just like hide the bottom of? No. The way that I do it is I have two lists. I have something that I actually call my list for later, and it's got a big sticker on it. It's a notebook and it says list for later because it's not a to-do list. My to-do list is in my planner and it's happening real time and it's present in front of my eyeballs and it's on paper in my office on my desk each day. And it is something, it's a living document. And when things are being moved around on my list for the day, they get moved real time onto tomorrow or the next day. They don't get deleted until they're done. My list for later is more like the running list. It's the big pile where ideas go and someday things go and where future goals go. Or if somebody says, oh, you need to check out this book and I don't have time to figure that out, I'll write it on that list. It's the things that aren't necessarily a priority, and it's goals and dreams perhaps that are going to take longer to do than I can do in an impromptu moment. But I do not want that list to feel urgent. I don't want it to be pressing. So the to-do list has deadlines and it is connected to my goals. And the other is a catch-all of things that I don't want to forget. So keep a list for later and don't confuse this with the power of a really solid to-do list that is your promise to yourself. Sorry, that was really long aside. I think it's just so important that we hold ourselves in that integrity because, you know, if you don't keep your word to yourself, then what good is your word, right? And it's important and it makes you feel good. It makes you feel so good when you know that you keep your word to yourself. And I promise you that if you make yourself a little promise today that you're going to start keeping your word to yourself mindfully, keep track of it. Write things down that you promised to yourself and then check them off when you do them and award yourself, you know, a little bit of praise, an acai bowl if you have time. Acknowledge the wins on the promises and report back to me and tell me if you don't feel a really good like hit on that. That's just so good. It's juicy, juicy, juicy. So, okay, the next thing after your to-do list is finished and you know what you're going to do when you arrive at your desk tomorrow is to prepare your computer. And this is not possible for everyone because sometimes we have our computer, it's a laptop or whatever, and you move around with it and it's your play machine and your work machine. But if possible, whenever you can do it, tee up the things on your computer that you're going to need first thing. So for me, because my ideal morning has me writing in my manuscript first thing, which I'm happy to report I am making progress on, guys. I don't know if you listened to my prior episode where I talked about procrastination and I had this breakthrough on my story, and I have been writing ever since and it's been a magical experience. So there you go. That's something. But for me, preparing my computer means that when my computer wakes up in the morning, that screen lights up and my document is sitting there. Nothing else. My document is actually on one half of my screen and my document, my notes is on the other side of the screen. Nothing else is visible. Nothing else is open. And I, as a default, I don't have notifications on. So I'm not getting any kind of pop-ups or dings or anything like that on my computer. But when I look at my computer screen first thing in the morning, I don't see email. I don't see social media. I don't see the news. There's nothing else on that screen except priority one for me. And I block off my time. So my first block is always writing. Whether or not that happens, right? That's another podcast altogether. But my first priority is my writing. And if I sit down after I finish my morning routine and I'm ready to get to work, I open up my computer because I set it last night. So I have a laptop and I have a desktop, and my desktop is the machine that has my work stuff on it. I sit down at my desk, I open up the computer, and there is my first work block, and I am not allowed to move off of those screens until my time is done. And then after my first work block happens, then I can move into my first break period, which is a timed break. I have a 30-minute break where I can do whatever I want. I can go to email. I can go to social media. I try so hard not to, because I can't be trusted, you guys. And that's me. I know myself, like, know thyself. I know myself well enough to know that if I do that, it's a slippery slope, and it's like a red flag danger zone. So prepare your computer. Once you prepare your computer and you shut that down, I'd like to offer you the concept of micro journaling. So I keep a paper planner in addition to all the things that I do digitally, because I have found that no matter how I try, now I do use online products. I do use Asana and Evernote and different kinds of things to keep my digital life in order. But when it comes to a planner and a to-do list, I actually really like having a paper one. I like writing in it. I feel like writing in it is part of a slow practice for me, which is something that I just love to develop. I would like to ask you to do some micro journaling before you shut down your day. So take a moment and reflect and record. How did the day go? How did you feel today? How do you feel stress-wise now? How did you feel stress-wise in the morning? What went well? What could you improve? What did you forget to do? What did you learn today that you didn't know yesterday? And if you like to do more journaling, I'm a journaler, but if you like to do more journaling, there's some more questions that you can consider. Something that I am proud of that happened today, an area where I could have improved was, I would like to learn more about, something new I learned today, I am grateful for. Gratitude is the attitude, my friends. Gratitude is a huge one. If you can find a way to add a little bit of gratitude to your day, that's a beautiful way to shut down the day and move into tomorrow. And if you're interested in journaling, I'm going to have a link to some journal prompts on the show notes, which will be available at corinnaoflynn.com/episode8. And that's the word episode and the digit 8. After you're done with your business shutdown routine, you get on with your day. You go have dinner, you hang out with family, you watch a movie, you go for a run, whatever it is that you do. It then eventually becomes time to go to bed. So what does your shutdown routine look for your personal life? Do you have one? I know most people have some semblance of a routine where, you know, it includes like brushing our teeth and getting our jammies on and, you know, hopping into bed. But what if you had something that kind of ramped you into that practice as well? Studies have shown that there are many benefits to having a shutdown routine for your personal life. Number one being better sleep. A consistent evening routine can help your body recognize when it's time to wind down, making it easier to fall asleep and stay asleep. And studies have shown that a good night's sleep can lead to improved cognitive function, improved memory, and improved decision-making abilities, all of which are essential for entrepreneurs. Studies have also shown that a consistent bedtime can lead to improved sleep quality, reduced stress, and overall sense of well-being. Right? I want more of that. Please, you know, please and thank you. The reduced stress piece is huge. So by incorporating a calming activity into your evening routine, such as meditation, yoga, reading a paper book, I try to advocate for no screens in the evening routine, you can help reduce stress levels and your mood, right? And if you're less stressed as an entrepreneur, you're more likely to approach your work tomorrow with bright-eyed and bushy, right? Clear-eyed and focused. If you are able to incorporate things like meditation and journaling into your evening, you will start to develop a stronger slow practice. And slow practice is something that I love. I am a move, 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 mover. I'm a really high activity person. My mind is always going. And so I, for many years now, have been working on developing my slow practice. I have a slow practice in the morning. It's part of my morning routine. And I have a slow practice in the evening as my shutdown, because I find that forcing myself to slow down has actually brought on much more peace and alignment in my thinking and in the way that I feel in my body. And so that's actually something that I'm going to discuss in a future episode. But by establishing clear boundaries between work and personal time, right? And then personal time and then bed, you'll be able to enjoy your personal time without the distraction and the stress of work. And then you'll be able to ramp right into bed without feeling the need to settle or have any kind of like, well, you know, what's going to happen tonight? It's a routine. It starts to happen on autopilot. For those of you who don't have a slow practice or are running blank on ideas for things that you could incorporate into an evening routine, I would like you to experiment with different activities. You know, try meditation. Try a 2-minute meditation. If you've never tried meditation before, you could actually download guided meditations that are built for sleep. You could read a paper book, which is something that I tried doing, I don't know, several months ago. I was really struggling with this sense of burnout before the new year. And I sat down to read a book and I found that I could not pay attention for an entire page. And that was like alarming to me because I read all the time for my work, but I do a lot of stuff digitally and I do a lot of books on audio. So I was like, whoa, what is that about? And I forced myself to get back into the practice of sitting down and reading a book on paper. And it really was like relearning how to use this muscle of my attention span. So I would urge you to read a book. And yoga and stretching, or, you know, anything that doesn't really involve screens. I think any of those things is wonderful. Take a bath, practice skincare, enjoy a cup of tea to help you unwind. Mel Robbins talks about her 3-2-1 nighttime routine, which I'll link. There's a YouTube video that I found about this one. She calls it her 3-2-1 nighttime routine, which means 3 hours before bed, no food. 2 hours before bed, no working. 1 hour before bed, no screens. How simple is that, right? So the routines don't have to be complicated. They don't have to be involved, and they don't have to be the same thing every night. If you have a slow practice, you can say, okay, I have 30 minutes of slow practice coming up, and that can be any flavor of slow practice. So for those of you who hate the monotony of the same thing every day, or if you don't want to turn into a prune by taking a bath every single night, mix it up. Find things that help you unwind. Pick up a new hobby, whatever it takes for you to move into ease and slow. And I think that that's, you know, a winning combination for every single human on this earth. So there you have it. Creating a shutdown routine for your work and for your life can be a game changer for entrepreneurs who struggle to switch off from work and unwind. And by developing a consistent routine, you'll be able to improve your sleep quality, manage your stress, and wake up feeling refreshed and ready to tackle the day. So take some time to experiment with different activities, find a shutdown routine that works for you, and the moment it stops working, switch to something new. But whatever you do, keep trying to find the things that fit, even if it is simple as 3-2-1 or one thing at all. And that's all I have for you this week. Thank you for listening to the Calm Entrepreneur Podcast. And until next time, keep seeking pathways to alignment. Remember, part of being a calm entrepreneur is developing the systems, habits, and know-how that lets you know that you are the one in the driver's seat. You get to choose how you run your business, and you get to choose how you work. So you got this. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the Calm Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Corinne O'Flynn, and if this episode was valuable to you, please head on over and rate and review wherever you consume your podcasts. Please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. New episodes go out each week on Tuesdays, and I look forward to hanging with you again. This is Corinne signing off. Have an excellent day.
Hello, hello, Corinne here. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the podcast. If you like what I'm sharing here, then I have a special invitation for you. It's my brand new membership called Be Inward. We are growing a unique community that's redefining what it means to be a successful entrepreneur. It's a place where we constantly ask ourselves, what if we made well-being the goal? If you're tired of the constant hustle and feeling like you're never fully present in any aspect of your business, then check out Be Inward. It might be exactly what you've been searching for. I invite you to join a movement that embraces an integrated work and life philosophy where your business fuels your life and your life inspires your work. Take a whole new perspective on entrepreneurship that supports every aspect of your being, personal, professional, and spiritual. And this is the best part. Right now, you can become a founding member for just $33 a month. That's a little more than a dollar a day. As a founding member, you not only lock in the lowest rate this membership will ever be, but you'll also get a say in shaping what Be Inward becomes as it grows. Right now, Be Inward offers guided practices based on monthly themes, weekly cosmic weather reports, human design education and coaching, group healing EFT sessions, live topical Q&A and learning sessions, instant access to our growing learning library of self-paced courses, and weekly co-working and accountability. Help us shape our vision. There's much more coming every day. So get organized, find more time, learn a new system, and connect with like-minded entrepreneurs who are walking the same path with you. So join me and join Be Inward, because who you be is all that matters. And you find out who you are by looking inward. Thank you.